The testament of Ulysses X, decayed is Troy, crumbled into smoke, ash, stink. Debilitated are its gods, they are corpses now, and reek from every field, every temple. Their armor, extraordinarily, is worthless as sunflowers. Their bronze, their brass, is ludicrous as sunflowers on a grave. No beauty alleviates this disaster, raised by Helen's tragic beauty, her unmistakable beauty. If only Menelaus had treated his wife Helen like a dog, like the bitch she was born as. I think a gutter had been her alchemist cauldron, that she transformed from a trashy slut to a gilt-clad queen. Then her betrayal could have been born, and thousands of brave sons, fathers, husbands, allowed to stay on farms and try an anthology of grapes, dramatic honey, keep a pied-à-terre with wine and mead, not endure tatterdemalion of wave and torch, the distempered gravity of spears hooking out hearts or eyes, nor smoke as gloomy as beige, nor cathedral letters, obituaries premature, nor the turmoil of wounds, the exhaust of blood, nor arrowed ghosts, chests bristling thistles, nor skid marks of toppled chariots, nor lightning, fate's graffiti, tensing the atmosphere, all because Helen is the slushy buttress to a pimp's bedroom. Troy is a moon-singed hell. The cut-out crescent moon is a candle wick lit. This light has an idiotic friendship with the dark, for it is more a Tintorella sunburn than it is moonlight. It is curiously dull, but suitable is this somber shade that closes upon indignant fisticuffs that puts so many Greeks in this merciless foreign dust. The Trojans came at us as suicide wrecks, perishing like silken snow, a glut in entangled, insidious parliamentary silence, impatient to be bones, grand stink, springing up in spring. Even their horses become monotonous, frozen sculptures, each one a doleful mirror of maggots, a cloying atmosphere of flies, a rat's nest of snakes. Cadavers become miserable, ragged flowers. Thanks to my army of crowbars, saws, axes, we made Troy an empire of empty chairs, a desert of beds, a homeland of mice, where widows experienced an endless crawling hurt, moving on their knees to graves or to their victors' beds, bringing a heavy aroma of rotting fish, dying whitewash, rancid garbage, their present perfumes. I see, saw disaster due to a woman's finicky betrayal of a king, whose grief and rage are measureless as scriptures. And so we avengers forded pale tequila waves, a sea often muted gray blue, to take gold white sand and leave Trojan grass bleached, so much horizontal enamel, with vultures forming gothic sails atop the beached dead. I wonder, regarding the carrion birds, did they enjoy eating them? Was it a fine fucking feast? I wade through jungles of black cyclops-eyed sunflowers, the gold fringes tarnished, flaking off, whole flowers gone to carrion, the seeds feeding foraging crows and squirrels like so many black monotonous maggots. Sweetish sunflowers. The Trojan agriculture is only melancholy and cruelty, obscenity and irresponsibility, decaying orchards, Turkish blot. Blood the color of faded tea, furrows that are morgues, pale gray, a gay gray marketplace of corpse stripping, all metals, kuta, golden, stripped off, all clothing, fabrics, ripped off, mementos thieved, while worms have the delicate, finicky responsibility, a species of farming, to complete dismemberment and destruction in their festive, amoral, childish dictatorship. All of Troy has become a subterranean harvest in the inaccessible subsoil, only seen by corpses, only farmed by corpses. They lap the intoxicating drafts of rain, I should say so, and disintegrate further into the profound, well-crafted depressions, burrows, cocoons of a generous static gothicism. My fatherland is the womb. I should like my wife Penelope to be as loyal as my mother or my troops. To the devil, to the hell with Helen. The bitch has made all Troy a mere sect of eunuchs. Perkele, to the devil, because of her demonic devil lusts. gigantic, cyclops, lust, Circe's lust. I should be fearful of sunflowers. The black cunts fringed by gold here is as frightful as dogs. Our king is buttressed by wines in vino veritas Greece. Our poets in their taverns are smoky sphinxes. We've brought back from Troy in criminal secrecy an appetite for slaughtering angels. Our fists are seditious. Our hearts are happiest, happily dead. We lust to enter a gleaming church and treat entire families to a pogrom, incinerating grandmom and infant alike in a heaving storm of blood. We've seen so many gaping grooves in women, in soil. We consider all lives as throwaway. Our gilded waves, Fabergé waves, my light after the solitary darkness of underworld and battlefield, the shadowy foliage of smoke, funeral beers, and campfires. I want my beautiful woman, lovelier even than Homeric Helen, lovelier because faithful. Her love is ageless as scripture, and she has been as patient and as impatient as a prisoner. But my household is infested with poets, hissing poets, with all their slimy singing, and they grin at my wife through violets and hyacinths and sunflowers, these baying dogs, these gay rats. I mean to see them dead, but first to watch them die like so many gloomy insects. I remember so well how death freezes limbs. I saw horses in full dudgeon, fearing incineration in a forest fire, gallop for shelter safety in a freezing lake, where they strove to keep their heads above water, but froze to death in their half-galloping postures and hoof-gripping, ice-besieged poses. I saw a century of horses' heads, open-jawed, eyes frigid in terror, seek vainly and unnecessarily for air, for warmth, for life, but they were black snouts and manes pitching immobile out of severely white ice. Having witnessed such wanton horror, why should I hesitate to massacre the country club Apollos, the Hades-born hoodlums smutting my home with their dirty airs? Why, I'll break up their bodies in an unbreaking rhythm. Their hairy heads look like disemboweled umbrellas. I ask that they drink up their vinos espumosos, mix half tequila and half champagne, a shaquila, while I remember each drunk mosquito and slap them dead with arrow or spear, or pickaxe or scythe, tirelessly. They mistook my home for a dance hall of prostitutes, thought my wife a woman they could chisel, hammering themselves to her loins to form a crucifix. Well, I now will bring to each an imperturbable doom, raining metallic sounds of steel gnawing limbs as my weapons fall upon him with respectful exploitation as flirtatious as a butterfly until the stinking cast emits hoarse croaks, steadily remote coughs as their songs tremble into whisper sighs and their bodies crumple up, humble as upholstery, and their faces assume greenish features or show ruddy masks. My poetical Roncesvalles will produce great trorig, sadness, trauma, until each ill drunk is a dead, eyeless, gothic gargoyle. My temperament is icy. I'm as patient as pincers. These heathen wolves have lusted for wild pink trenchant sex, the equipment of a woman, the hiss of their claws slicing open lace and ties. But I'll serve nocturnal cruelty, grievous fishing. Tonight arrives el momento de verdad, the moment of truth, and my castle of pimps, poets, will know an uproar of furniture, bewildered bawling, as I kill in a howling cavern with sinister promiscuity. Only then can I lead my wife to our fixed, immovable bed in the pewter night, enjoy her briny breast milk, move my fingers through the subterranean bristles of her sex, share a full-bodied kiss in sweaty matching as she feels my face as bumpy as braille. This is immaculate. Or then there is immaculate exposure, a tremor of tentacles, genitals pestering each other. And then this fatigued gypsy finally comes home.